Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to the Pontani Pages. I'm your host, Angie Pontani. When I was a young dancer, I watched Flashdance at least a dozen times. The leg warmers, the pirouettes, the cascading water falling on Jennifer Beals' perfectly permed hair. Flashdance fired up a generation to dance in scantily clad spandex ensembles. And while not exactly burlesque, Flashdance put a face on the exotic dancer and showed the dancer's inner conflict with various forms of movement and ironwork. Now that iconic film has become a new musical that is touring the United States, and today we are chatting with Jillian Mueller, who stars as Alex, the part-time Pittsburgh steelworker and part-time flash dancer with a heart of gold. Hey Jillian, welcome to the Pontani Pages. So you've got some downtime from the touring production of Flashdance, and I'm glad it's given us the time to chat today. So first of all, you landed this amazing role, and you're obviously super talented. How did you get started doing Broadway shows and musical theater at this level?
I, being from New Jersey, I started doing community theater and dance lessons at a local dance studio. And I started just doing that and singing lessons and acting lessons. And so I did that, and I did the whole community theater circuit.
Great.
And I'm only about an hour and a half away from the city. So I, when I was like 11 or 12, I started to badger my parents to take me in for auditions and for professional stuff. And I got my first Broadway show when I was 12.
Wow.
And so I did How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I was a Who. And that was kind of my start into the whole kind of professional world and Broadway and shows. And so that kind of got the ball rolling. And then from there, I just kind of I plugged away and kept at it with lessons and auditions and all of that. And so after that, so I did How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I did that for 2 years. So when I was 12 and 13, I did two Christmas seasons, the holiday seasons.
Great.
And then I did the Broadway revival of Bye Bye Birdie.
Must have been fun.
John Stamos and Gina Gershon were in
that. Wow.
Yeah, for sure. And it was a whole bunch of us, teenagers that were in the ensemble. And so we had a great, great time on that.
I'm sure.
And then after that, I did last year, I did the national tour of American Idiot, Green Day's show, American Idiot.
Okay.
And then right before I joined Flashdance, I did 2 months on the tour of Memphis, the Broadway show Memphis.
Nice. So you talked about earlier that, you know, you're from New Jersey. So you grew up in New Jersey. And I grew up in New Jersey. I grew up in Trenton. And, you know, I studied dance my entire life, too. And it's awesome that your parents would bring you into the city, because the New Jersey dancing school experience versus a lot of the things that will happen in New York dancing are very different. So, like, when I was taking my dancing lessons in New Jersey, it was really, like, recital-oriented.
Yes.
It was, like, big bows on your head and, you know, things like that. Was that similar to the experience that you were having?
Oh, for sure. Like, and it's funny now, I think, because they have the TV shows like Dance Moms and stuff where they kind of show that whole crazy competition world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually funny because I think to normal people or people that didn't experience that, it seems like so crazy. But I was like, yeah, like there are crazy stage moms, and it's about my daughter's in the front line and doing those dance routines, and it's very competitive, and it's that world. So totally. And it's very recital oriented, and it's about that your end of the year kind of presentation for like your family.
Absolutely.
And it's all about that. And for sure.
But it is great training for Broadway or for theater, it's such a different world. And then you come to New York, and it's kind of amazing the opportunities that are here.
Totally. I think there's a time and a place for it, and I think it's great. Like, I wouldn't have it any other way. I don't think I would have learned how to dance if I didn't go through that. I just think that it's important, for me at least anyway, it was to know when it's your time to then take the next step.
Yes.
And kind of get away from that whole competition world. I definitely got my fill, and I felt like I got the most out of it, and then I started taking, like, classes in the city and kind of
turned it into a career. So when this opportunity for Flashdance kind of came before you, what was your relationship to the film? Like, obviously, you had seen it. Did you grow up watching it? Were you, like, obsessed with it? Did you freak out?
It's funny because I'm not, you know, people always ask, they're like, well, you weren't around when the movie came out, and I wasn't. But it's one of those iconic movies that, of, you know, people are like, did you even know the movie? I'm like, duh.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was seven, I got the movie for Christmas because
some progressive parents.
I know. Well, because you know what it was, because I was one of those, you know, definitely one of those theater kids growing up where I was like obsessed with, you know, dancing and singing and playing dress up and like all of that. So I remember I got a whole bunch of like dance movies. I got Flashdance and the movie Center Stage and like Moulin Rouge and like all like those like kind of theatery movies. And so, yeah, so I got it when I was really young, and I remember I kind of clung on, like I just was like infatuated with the whole idea of it and, you know, the dancing and the numbers and the costumes and all of that. So I definitely have like a personal relationship with it.
No, it's got to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, for sure. So when I heard the musical was around, I was like, I would love to do that.
And are you like reveling in like the leg warmers and the slashed oversized shirts and the curly hair? Or are you
Totally.
Are you perming your hair for this? What are you doing? Because your hair is straight, but obviously Alex has very curly 80s fabulous hair. So how do you make this magic happen?
I have a wig in the show.
Oh.
But it is funny because when I wear the wig, I have pin curls in my hair underneath. And so when the show's over and I have my pin curl hair literally looks like
Alex
hair.
Curls.
It's like big and curly and wavy. But yeah, I have three wigs in the show because I don't think it would be possible for me to use my real hair because I do the whole iconic the water dance. And so I have three wigs. I have my act one wig. I have a 13-second like quick change into another wig that can get wet. So then I do the water wig. It gets wet. I take that one off. And then I have a fresh new wig that I put on for the second act.
And we have a very important question about the water. Yes. What is the temperature of the water? Is it cold? Is it cold and refreshing because you've been dancing and you're sweating?
Right.
Or do they heat it up for you? Or
It's so funny because I always – people do actually ask this question and it always makes me laugh because I'm like – it's like a mixed bag. It's like it's like a surprise.
Oh.
Sometimes it's warm and sometimes it's real chilly. I think it has to do with – and because we travel, we're in different cities. It has to do with like the pipes that they're in and like all of that stuff. So like certain times, like if you're in a cold city, the water – probably will be cold.
So but you can't put it on your rider that it has to be like 85 degrees.
I wish, because when it's warm, it's real nice.
You're I'm sure.
Oh, this feels good.
I'm sure.
And sometimes, especially if it's like, you know, it's a show that's a hard show, like you're trying to pull through, and you all of a sudden get cold water, you're just, and I don't have a mic on, so sometimes I'm literally just making noises and just like cursing under my breath, hoping like, just being like, ah, because it'll be, but I mean, it's generally speaking, it's like lukewarm.
Well, that's not bad. That's not bad.
No.
And so you recently took over the role from Emily Padgett. Did she give you any advice? Like, because, I mean, playing Alex is a very specific thing. There are really specific, iconic moments, like when you dump the water and hitting that pose, which is so specific and, you know, immortalized in the film and sweatshirts and T-shirts and things like that. So did she kind of pass on some knowledge to you about how to do these certain things?
It was more with that stuff. You know, you learn the show from the dance captain and the stage manager, and the director came in, and the associate choreographer came in to work with me and teach me all that. So she doesn't necessarily pass on. It's more kind of. She was great about like it's more like the mindset and how to take on this role and do it 8 times a week and still maintain sane and healthy. And so it was more she passed on more like good vibes and happy thoughts and kind of rooting for me to take this on and enjoy it and succeed at it, as opposed to like specific choreography kind of stuff.
Well, that's very kind.
Yes. Oh, totally. Absolutely.
And it's a huge role and there's a lot of pressure associated with it. I mean, it's dancing constantly. It's got to be completely physically exhausting. What do you do to kind of stay in shape and to stay in that moment? Are you like eating green vegetables all day and sleeping 12 hours and like doing yoga? Like, how do you keep your body and your mind in that game? Because it's an intense role.
Oh, totally. And it's, I always say, when people are like, do like before the show. It's like, I always just say you're getting ready to like sprint a marathon. Like that's what it is for 2.5 hours straight. But I don't, I mean, I'm still kind of like finding my groove with it and like figuring out what works for me and what doesn't. Like I learned one time, do not eat a burger before the show. Oh. That's not going to go over well. You're just going to feel like you have food baby the whole time. But what do? I don't really work out because honestly, if I even take like a yoga class during the day, I'll be too tired to do it. Just because it literally takes everything out of you. You feel like you got hit by a truck by the end of it. So I actually don't really work out, which is also good though, because the show totally keeps you in shape.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a big, big calorie burn happening there.
Oh, absolutely. And it keeps you in shape also like muscle wise. Like you're actually like strengthening and using your core and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But food wise, you just try and eat well. And we were in California for a couple weeks and definitely after the show, once in a while, when you crave it, I'll have like In-N-Out Burger just because
you need to.
Right. Well, and after the show, it's kind of like you can a little bit eat whatever you want, in the sense that you do burn it off. But generally speaking, I try and eat well and like before the show and you know lots of salads and like protein and like fish and I'm all into like the juice drinks and all of that. So yeah.
You've got to be. It's exhausting. And so you're pretty early on in your career, and you've got this great role, and you're working with one of Broadway's most active choreographers, Sergio Trujillo. Like, that's got to be pretty amazing and intimidating as well.
Oh, totally. Absolutely. And Sergio is a very strong personality, and he's actually been very good to me, though, in my career. He cast me in Memphis 2 years ago when the tour was first going out. And so that's where I kind of started a relationship with him. And then I actually auditioned for Flashdance when they were first going out on tour. So in the fall, I auditioned just to be in the ensemble and like understudy Alex and Gloria, who's the best friend. And my feedback was actually, you could totally be an understudy for Gloria, but you know, maybe one day you can grow into understudying Alex. And so luckily Sergio called me in when they were replacing this part and remembered me and called me in. And he's been really great to me. I just always feel like he's been very supportive and kind of, you know, wants me to do well and,
mentoring you a bit. Yeah. In your career.
Yeah. So he's been, and it's great. And he does extremely well for himself. He's like constantly working and constantly, there was at one point, I think he had like 4 shows running on Broadway.
Yes, he did. We saw that in our research.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's very cool and humbling and I'm very grateful to be able to work with people like that, because that's a special thing. You know, not everybody gets to do that.
No, absolutely. And so you're on the road quite a bit. You've toured with several other shows. You guys are currently touring this show. What's it like a day on the road with this cast?
This cast, we have, and genuinely, honestly saying it, because I wouldn't have to say it if it wasn't true. We have a really, really good group of people. We all, you know, for the most part, you know, everybody is just kind of, there's a very positive vibe. Like everybody is kind of happy to be there. And it's important to have a group of people when you're on tour that want to do things and like want to explore and see what a city has to offer.
Sure.
And so it's awesome because everybody on the show is very into that, which is great. So a day in the life on tour, every city is a little different. Like you definitely have a different routine in every city because some cities have lots of things to do. I remember I was on tour with another show and I was in San Francisco and there was something to do during the day every day. You know, some cities don't really have that kind of sightseeing factor. So sometimes you'll kind of have a very restful week of just kind of hanging around and going to little coffee shops and little restaurants and stuff. But your average day is kind of sleeping in. I know for me, it's important when I don't have press the next day, it's important for me to like sleep in as much as possible. But it's very cool because you're kind of I try to appreciate it in the way that, like, you're paid to do your job and kind of be a tourist.
No, for sure. And you get all these great opportunities. Do you have a favorite city to play? Like, is it the audience or even just being in that city? Is there a spot that you really love?
You know what? I truly don't have. I have a couple of favorites. Like, I love Chicago. I love Dallas. I had a really good time when we were in LA for a chunk of time.
What about New Jersey? Have you ever played New Jersey?
I have never played New Jersey.
Ugh.
I know. But I, you know, in my head, I just think I'm like, the closest thing to my hometown is like doing a Broadway show.
Sure.
It's New York. So I'm always like, that is like my homecoming. Because we were in Costa Mesa and a whole bunch of people are from that area. And so they all had their like families come out and it was like they were performing in their hometown. So unfortunately I don't really have that in Jersey, but
yeah.
I just call it, like, Broadway hometown.
So yeah, which is pretty good. That's a good hometown. And what are the audiences that you guys get? Like, is it a diverse audience? Is it people who were obsessed with the film and they come out with their Flashdance t-shirts? I mean, what are the crowds like?
It's interesting because it's definitely a mixed bag. Like, there's we get a lot of, because on tour, a lot of these theaters have subscribers. So it's, yes, like a lot of like older people, like 60s, 70s, that have these subscriptions that come that remember the film. But we also get a lot of like, my favorite kind of people is like, we also get a lot of like women in their 40s that like then bring their daughters to like come see it. And, We get a lot of like middle-aged people that knew and loved the movie, and they come out with like leg warmer. You know, I love the people also that get, like, people get dressed up to come to the show, and they wear their hot pink leg warmers and their off the shoulder and their sweatbands and all of that. That's really great.
That's amazing. So yeah. there are rumors that Flashdance is going to come to Broadway. Can you comment on that?
Honestly, no, I don't, you know, I don't know much about it. I know that I'm, you know, we're doing the tour and everybody that's on the road is doing it on the road. I don't know that much information about that, because that's not, you know, I'm not on that end of it. I'm
sure.
Just one of the performers doing it. So, I mean, we'll see. Who knows, honestly.
That would be fabulous.
Right.
So in the show, you guys have added a lot more original music. I mean, everybody knows What a Feeling. Everybody knows Maniac. What's the process been like of integrating these original tunes kind of into this pre-existing bubble?
It's really great. It's, we have 16 new original songs that were written for the show, plus the ones from the movie. I think it's really great. All the music has like the vibe to it that it works really well with the original songs, which is awesome. And it just adds to the story because, you know, when you really look at the film, like, you know, when taking the film and making it into a musical, you kind of need to flesh out storylines more. And I think the music just kind of assists that. And it helps it tell a more like fluid story.
Has there been a lot of adaptations made to move this from the film to a stage show?
There's definitely, there have been like little changes, but nothing like, just because you need to, like, to keep an audience entertained,
sure,
for 2.5 hours, you need to flesh it out more. And like we have other plot lines too that you see more, like you see Gloria, who in the movie her name is Jeannie and the boyfriend in the movie is Richie, but our names are Gloria and Jimmy, but like you see their storyline more than you do in the movie. And and even like my stuff, you see more to Alex's like journey of wanting to become a dancer and her relationship with Nick and all of that. We just give you more. That's what it is.
Oh, that sounds pretty good. So you've been involved in musical theater for a long time. Do you see any changes in trends or have any feelings on the way that musical theater is going and transitioning, you know, over the past 10 years?
Totally. I think, well, just when I think about when I started, when I was 12 and where my mindset was, I loved like traditional kind of musical theater or even like contemporary stuff that was like Hairspray.
Sure.
But nowadays it's kind of going in this more pop rock way, which I love. I think it's so great. And it's also what I really love to do. I did American Idiot and this kind of has like a poppy contemporary musical theater sound to it with the music. And Yeah, I definitely see there's definitely this change, I feel like, of this wave of being a little bit more edgy and pop rock, and even with things like Next to Normal and stuff like that. It's still musical theater, but it's more, to me, it has a little bit more of like a real aspect to it and relatableness, and which I think it's great, and I think it's I like that it goes in that direction. I think
it's kind of like a natural evolution in a bit. It can't always be Guys and Dolls.
Right, exactly. And I mean, not to say that that's not great, and you know, I think it's important to know what traditional musical theater is and have an appreciation for it and stick to that. But I think it's also, yeah, it's a good evolution to like go into. It's how groundbreaking stuff happens, I think.
Yeah, and there's certainly room for both.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do shows, like, this is a touring show right now, it's on the road, there's a significant amount of production that has to move. How does something like that differ, like a Broadway production in a theater versus a touring show?
Well, our crew, the crew on a national tour, not that they don't work extremely hard on Broadway, but they definitely have, like, they have to put up the set and tear it down a week later, you know, when you're on tour. Each city, they have to build up the set and the deck in every theater we go to. So that's a whole other aspect. And so every city we're in, there's a different, you're dealing with a different backstage. So your dressing room's in a different place, your changing area is always in a different place. You know, and they have to, then the crew has to then teach, like, then we have a local crew that helps with the lights and the backstage props and the moving of the set pieces and all of that. So they have to teach a brand new crew, you know, what their cues are. Same for the performers, like, we deal with dressers.
Yes.
Who help us with costume changes and all of that. Like, I know on this show, I have three. So three for one person, and our wardrobe supervisor has to teach.
It's always different. It's a different dressers when you go to.
Well, I have one dresser who travels with us, Rebecca, and she's fantastic. Because there's no way, I don't think, you could teach
the whole thing.
It's the whole thing. Because also it moves so quickly. All of us, like all the ensemble, have quick changes all the time. It just moves too fast. I know for me, though, to teach brand new, like, so it's good to have the one person that knows everything that's going on, and then she teaches the two local dressers all of their changes. So
that's
every week,
be very stressful for a lot of people to always have to be relearning and reteaching and going over that.
Oh, totally. I think it takes a very specific, I think, specific people and personalities to, you know, to deal with that and do that.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we wish you lots of luck, Jillian, and we're going to come and see the show. I was looking. I saw some dates in Connecticut, so I think I might take a road trip to Connecticut and break out my pink leg warmers.
Right.
But it's been a pleasure talking shop with you and talking about Flashdance, and I want to thank you for being on the Pontani Pages today, and I can't wait to see the show.
Thank you so, so much.
I appreciate it. And congratulations.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening out there. To find out where Jillian and the Flashdance crew are playing next and to see clips from the show, visit flashdancethemusical.com. We'll also have clips on our website, pontanipages.wordpress.com, where you can also find links to past editions of the podcast and a whole lot more. We're also now available through Stitcher Radio, the number one source of great podcasts located right in your pocket. Download the Stitcher app for your phone or mobile device and let them know the Pontani Pages sent you. Until next time, keep taking your passion and making it happen.